Our show's name pays tribute to the Boer Trekkers of South Africa, who in 1838 soundly defeated 30,000 Zulus on the bank of the Nkomo River, thereafter called Blood River, from the water turning red with the blood of the slain. Miraculously, no Boer Trekker died and only three were wounded. Now, your friend, Eddie Miller, will be your ambassador for tonight's show.
You'll excuse me, gentlemen.
Lieutenant Colonel Stewart reporting for duty, sir.
Colonel Stewart.
That's an impeccable hat, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Tell me, Colonel Stewart, do you use tobacco?
No, sir. Not in any form.
Neither do I. Find I like it too much. Sit down.
Understand from your record that you are West Point, class of 54.
Served since in the cavalry, Fort Clark, Texas. Operations against Apache, Comanche. Most impressive, you are native Virginian.
Fought with Longstreet and Ewell, sir. Nasty business. Merciless climate. Glad to be home, sir. The Apache were defending their homes as we'll be defending ours. If we fight as well as the Apache, I pity the Yankee invader.
General Stewart, if I had my way, we would show no quarter to the enemy. No more than the Redskins showed your troopers. The black flag, sir. If the North triumphs, it is not alone the destruction of our property. It is the prelude to anarchy, infidelity, the ultimate loss of free and responsible government on this continent. It is the triumph of commerce, the banks, factories. We should meet the federal invader on the outer verge of just and right defense and raise at once the black flag. No quarter to the violators of our homes and firesides. Our political leadership in Richmond is too timid to face the reality of this coming war. They should look to the Bible. It is full of such wars. Only the black flag will bring the North quickly to its senses, rapidly in the war.
Well, Colonel, one way or the other, the South will give them a warm reception.
You'll be in charge of the cavalry in the Harpers Ferry District. Your experience and your zeal will be invaluable.
Thank you, sir. And, Colonel, know that I will tell my men always to gallop toward the enemy, but trot away.
Trot.
Ah, the black flag. The black flag, the trademark of the Blood River Radio program. And we're going to welcome in our own Blood River Radio Colonel. Welcome back, Brother Gene Andrews, better known by Brother Eddie as the Bitter Ender. How you doing, Bitter Ender? And welcome back.
Doing fine. Thank you very much for the promotion. I was only a first lieutenant in the Marine Corps. I got a promotion to colonel. That's great.
Well, you're a colonel in my book. I can say that. And I think Eddie wanted to play that little clip there to kindly get you rolling.
Oh, yeah.
Brother Gene.
From Generals.
Gods and Generals, yes, sir.
Between Thomas Jackson and Jeb Stuart, right there at the early part of the movie when they were still in the Shenandoah Valley. Yeah. Great movie. Yeah, I think that's my favorite movie about the war. I think it does the best job of all the movies that have been presented, even the movie Gettysburg. Both of them were by Ron Maxwell. But I think this one does the best job of showing why the Southerners fought the war. And to preserve our life, to preserve our history, to preserve everything we had down here from being totally destroyed by a brutal enemy that was out to just destroy a whole section of the country. And they did. So, I think that's a good movie. I think it ought to be required viewing in every school. Of course, they'd never, ever do anything like that. That would upset their propaganda that they have how evil the South was and all the things like that. So anyway, it's a great movie. If you ever get a chance to get it on Netflix or, whatever, it's well worth your time to view that. You get a lot of good information from it. And great actors. Robert Duvall played Robert E. Lee, and he did a tremendous job in that. And Stephen Lang played Jackson.
Yeah, Robert Duvall, one of my favorites. Yes, absolutely.
He did great. When I first saw that, I was mouthing the lines in the movie because the lines in the movie were taken from what Lee and Jackson actually said. I mean, it wasn't written up by some Hollywood scriptwriter. They went straight to the history books and took exactly the words that they had said in during the war and made that their dialogue for the movie. So that was really something to see that up on the screen. So that's why it got panned by the critics, and they never show it on TV. And, you know, it's gone down the memory hole, and we can't have anything like that.
Brother Gene, refresh my memory. Sorry, Monica. Refresh my memory on that scene where Robert Duvall was, of course, as General Lee, when he was trying to be persuaded by the Union general. Refresh my memory on that. More or less when General Lee told him that his home was right out there, you know. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, they see what they forget about. They offered him command of all of the U.S. forces. I mean, every Yankee soldier from Maine to California. It wasn't just the Army of the Potomac. It was every single one of them. And he was recommended by General Winfield Scott to take over the command. And that was Secretary Blair, I believe, Secretary of War. And he offered that to Lee in Virginia, at his office there in D.C., and Lee said he couldn't do it. He would have to fight against his family. And my home is there right across the river at Arlington House. And, you know, he said he just couldn't do that. And that's why they hated him so much, for turning down the offer. And when he joined the Virginia forces, and later that was incorporated into the Confederate Army, that's why, and they left that home, of course. It was right across the river from the enemy's capital. They left and went to Richmond, the Lee family, and as many of the possessions as they could haul out of there. That's why the U.S. Army, for spite, turned the grounds around Arlington House into a cemetery. And they even said, put the bodies up as close to the house as you possibly can so no one will ever want to live in this house again. And that's why Arlington Cemetery is where it is. It was done for spite against Lee for taking up the side of Virginia and the Confederacy. So, and as a veteran, I could be buried there, but there's no way I'd request to be buried there. That, to me, is an insult to the Lees.
You know, that just shows the mentality of the people that the Southerners that we were up against, and it makes me think of the first battle, the Battle of Bull Run, Battle of Manassas, called by the Confederacy, where we had a chance to walk right on into Washington and didn't do it. It just shows that to me, those two things show the difference in the Southerners' mentality, that we didn't really want to take over up there. We just wanted to be left alone, versus their mentality that they have nothing but revenge and devilment on their mind, so to speak.
Thank you for bringing that up, because that brings up the subject of what I hope Monica and I will be able to present to our listeners during this last hour. We had talked about this online, but there's an article in the latest edition of the Barnes Review. And every year they have a special edition on one phase of history. And every couple of years, the subject is on the South and the Confederacy. And this last one that came out a couple of months ago is called For the Love of Dixie. And there's an article in there by Dr. Charles Weber. And the title of the article is The Civil War and the Crusade Against Germany, 1939 to 1945, Some Noteworthy Parallels.
Oh,
and
yeah,
he
excellent.
Talks about.
Before you go on, sorry, Gene, before you go on, I have a burning question, and excuse my uncultured self, and I might have missed the title of that movie, but I might be the only one who doesn't know the title of the movie. But where was the movie clip? What's the name of the movie?
Oh, the name of the movie is Gods and Generals. Yeah.
Say again?
Gods, small g, Gods and Generals.
Gods and Generals. Thank you. Thank you. Because then I
it's by Ron Maxwell. And he did another, the one that came out first was called Gettysburg. And it was from, these were taken from books by William Shirer, or Shearer, I've forgotten the name. But anyway, they were novels, or historic novels. And the first one they did was Gettysburg, and that was from a book called Killer Angels. And then the second one actually jumps back, a prequel to that, the pre-war and the start of the war and the first couple of battles in the war that led up to the Battle of Gettysburg in 1863. But it's okay, a good one if you get a chance to see it.
Right
Brother
on.
Gene, I
Thank
hear the
you.
Music. We're getting ready to go to our first break of the third hour. When we come back, we're going right back to Brother Gene and Sister Monica and listen to these parallels between the World War II and the War of Northern Aggression. Be right back, people. Thank you.
As you are aware, America is divided over every fault line possible. This is intentionally fostered by those who do not love God, family, or country. We believe a peaceful future as a free people absolutely depends on civility. Clarion Call for Civility is looking for funding and volunteers at every level to make our hopes and efforts a reality. Please donate, sign our pledge, and help us in our sacred cause. Please visit callforcivility.com for more details. callforcivility.com.
I'm Monica Schaefer from Canada, a former political prisoner. Here at Blood River Radio, we are not afraid to tell the truth and shame the devil. Our mission is to fight against white genocide. We do that by exposing the lies. We talk about the American Civil War. We talk about the vilification of German people and by extension, all white people. And we even talk about that linchpin lie, the Holocaust. Deception by the alien enemy within has brought us whites to our knees. My last words at the Schaefer's speech crime trial in Germany were, quote, "If there was a law forbidding us to breathe, we would break that law immediately just to live. And so it is with this law. We must break this law in order to survive and thrive as a people," unquote. Please donate to Blood River Radio and help keep us on the air.
Patriots, faith leaders, sheriffs, this is your call to action. The Foundation for Freedom Conference is coming to Orlando September 6th and 7th at the Rosenshingle Creek Hotel. Learn how counties across America are pushing back against government overreach and protecting constitutional rights. Featuring top constitutional attorneys and sheriffs who stood firm during the COVID crisis. Visit foundationforfreedom.us and register today. Together, we can restore our nation. God bless America.
Okay, welcome back, everybody, to the Blood River Radio program, and we're going straight to Brother Gene Andrews, and when he's ready, he can hand it over to Sister Monica and let them get right into the meat of their presentations. Go ahead, Brother Gene.
Okay, we had mentioned earlier in the first segment, we wanted to cover an article that's in the Barnes Review, and the article is by Dr. Charles Weber. And it's called The Civil War and the Crusade Against Germany, 1939-45, Some Noteworthy Parallels. And he's talking about what happened to the South after the war, the Reconstruction. And I put that in quotes, that was imposed on the South, but it was actually a continuance of the war by other than military means. And Dr. Weber said, "I could not avoid noting the many parallels between the Confederates and the Germans." He said that both wars are still today active in public debate, and blame today is thrown on both the Southerners and the Germans. From the War for Southern Independence, it's about slavery, and we always have that thrown in our face today, like we still have plantations in the South with slave quarters all over them for some reason or other. And then, of course, the Jews in World War II. So that it always makes the South and the Germans their perpetual villains, whether it's in movies or TV documentaries or whatever the story is. And I know Monica can tell us what happened to her and her brother in Germany. I mean, when people are arrested for even expressing opinions today, then expressing facts, they're thrown in jail. And Monica has done jail time for just telling the truth. And,
for reaching different conclusions, right? Just for reaching different conclusions. When people talk about opinions, I try to inject a different phrase into that so that you can think differently about it. It's more than an opinion. I've reached different conclusions. Now, my conclusions might change again if I see evidence that makes me come to different conclusions. But I think that that's an important linguistic detail in how we talk about things. Back to you, Gene. Thank you.
Okay. And he talks about this tremendous loss of white blood in both the wars. There's an insurmountable social, economic, and psychological advantage was given after the result of both of these wars to the blacks and to the Jews. The slavery and the Hola hoax trumps every defense that you have or any factual information on how you try to present that and any argument against defending the South or defending Germany. So I think we can see how illogical the news media, the politicians, the people behind pushing this agenda of hatred and animosity toward the South and toward the Germans, how, well, almost on the lunatic fringe of where they are, but they get a lot of sociological and psychological and monetary benefits from this, of making villains out of the South and villains out of the Germany. And I know that's still going on today in Germany, and all the laws that they've passed over there are so strict about anybody that doesn't follow the prescribed history and whatever the theory is or the story is that they're supposed to follow. And pretty much,
how much sense does it make to make a law about what happened or didn't happen in the past? Does that make any sense to anybody at all? Like, to make a law about, you know, thou shalt not steal or thou shalt not murder, that makes sense to me. But does it make sense to make a law about what happened in the past? Like, do these laws actually, can they change history with a stroke of a pen? Can they actually bring something into existence with a stroke of a pen, something that happened or didn't happen in the past? Like, to me, that is not logical.
No.
Go ahead.
No. And to anybody with an open mind, it wouldn't be logical. But these people we're up against that hate and despise us, the communists in this country, and I think probably the communists are still running part of Germany, if not East Germany. It seems like they're running all of it. And they certainly, if Kamala gets elected, the communists are going to take over in this country 100%. But anyway, that's what they want to do. They want to negate factual history and put their own story out there. Fire away.
I'm sorry, Gene, but y'all on the topic, but just last Saturday, this Russian, I think he's 39 years old, Pavel Dvor, I may not be saying his name right, but he is the founder of the Telegram messaging app. He landed in France last Saturday on his private plane and was arrested and put in jail, and he's accused of not monitoring his site enough, not having enough moderation. In other words, he wasn't censoring certain things enough. But I just wanted to throw that in there just as an example, as these arrests and things, jail times and prison times, they're carrying on and going on even right now as we speak. So, but anyway, well, sorry to interject that. But
No. That's exactly true. And like David Irving, the British historian that's written books about Germany and the what a joke the Nuremberg trials were, and how slanted that was, and tortured German officers to get confessions, he's been arrested in Europe, in Austria, and some of the other countries there, and banned from entering some of the other countries, because you cannot tell the truth if it doesn't fit the state-run narrative that they have to have.
Yeah, so, and I think it's important to point out who owns the mainstream media, and the same people who own the banks. It's the money traders, those that were kicked out of the temple by Jesus Christ. And it is those who call themselves Jews, you know, so that's who is in full control of the media and Hollywood, I might add, because we've been talking about Hollywood movies and whatnot.
Oh, absolutely.
So, yeah.
And when they say moderate, this is to me, when they say moderate, they're saying, well, we're going to crush any views that doesn't go right along with, like what Gene just said, the state narrative. If it doesn't go along with that, we're crushing it.
Yeah.
So when you think of moderate, just equal that to censorship. It's just censorship.
And you know,
anyway,
it's interesting. They're putting the responsibility onto these private companies to do the censorship. So you know, they're making the owners of the platforms online responsible for the censorship, like, so that then criminalizing them if they don't. I mean, this is not going
well. I would say just like this young Russian 39-year-old founder of the messaging app, they lock him up, the whole thing's going to change now. It's going to be more or less, it may not be on the out, but on the inside, he's going to have to submit to letting them in, to moderate, to look, because, you know, his site is encrypted. So they want to get in there and see what these people are saying. So if he gets out of jail, it's going to be because he has allowed them to come in, take a look, and moderate, as they say. And that's just my opinion. But go ahead.
Well, and going back to our parallels between the Confederacy and Germany, Dr. Weber points out another point here that's often overlooked. Both the Confederate States of America and Germany attempted to negotiate peace. The Confederates sent 3 peace commissioners to Washington after the 7 states seceded to discuss what they were going to do with the federal property that Lincoln would not give up in the South, Fort Sumter in Charleston Harbor and Fort Pickens in Pensacola Harbor in Florida, and try to work out some peaceful solution. And then you look at Germany and how many times Chancellor Hitler and von Ribbentrop, the German foreign ambassador, tried to negotiate a peace between England and France. And Chancellor Hitler even volunteered to have Germany as a buffer between the Bolsheviks coming in from the east and overtaking Eastern Europe. And he said, we need to be allies with the British and have their navy protect the seas, and we'll protect Eastern Europe from the Bolsheviks. And, of course, Churchill wasn't about to go for that. He wanted Germany destroyed because it was an economic rivalry of England. But the Germans were trying everything they could do to work out a peaceful solution. And, of course, then there's the flight, the airplane flight of Rudolf Hess that flew over Scotland and bailed out. And I read an article that said that's the first time he ever bailed out of a plane. So
yeah, that's
you know,
it was his first parachute flight. Parachute, you're right.
And landed in
Scotland. And y'all, they're doing the same thing with what's going on with the Russians right now. Nobody wants to sit down and talk with the Russians. They don't want to talk about it. They, you know. But anyway, that's going on right now with the Russians.
Well, another thing that Dr. Weber points out is that both instances, the Allies that were fighting against Germany and the Yankee Empire that was fighting against the South were run by dictators who were war criminals. And we'll cover that after our break.
Okay, people, we go into the half hour break. Of the third hour of the Bug River Radio program. Hang in there. We'll be right back with Brother Gene Andrews and Monica Schaefer.
proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
Summer is upon us and the weather is beautiful. Everyone has a favorite outdoor activity. Golf, bike riding, bird watching, long walks. Ask 100 people and you'll get 100 answers. But if everyday aches and pains are keeping you on the sidelines, I have one answer. Relief Factor. Relief Factor is a 100% drug-free daily supplement that helps your body fight pain naturally. Developed by doctors, Relief Factor uses a unique formula of natural ingredients. It doesn't just mask pain. It helps reduce or even eliminate it. Wherever you're hurting, back, neck, joints, or muscles, in 3 weeks or less, you'll start to feel the difference all day, every day. So whatever you like to do, swimming, pickleball, hanging out in the garden, Relief Factor can help you feel good again and let you enjoy all your favorite outdoor activities all summer long. ReliefFactor.com, 1-800-4-RELIEF, 1-800-473-5433. Fight pain naturally with Relief Factor.
Tensions growing between China and the Philippines.
It's the latest flare-up of tensions over disputed waters and maritime features in the South China Sea. In a statement posted on social media, a Chinese Coast Guard spokesperson said the Philippine ship collided with the Chinese vessel after maneuvering in an unprofessional and dangerous manner. Beijing added the Chinese ship was operating within regulations. China is rapidly expanding its military as it pursues its claim to virtually the entire South China Sea, which is crucial to international trade. The tensions have led to more frequent confrontations, mainly with the Philippines, whose security the U.S. is treaty-bound to ensure. I'm Lawrence Brooks.
Major changes in the war in Ukraine. Officials now say women are joining the ranks of mobile air defense units to shoot down drones. Dozens of female recruits have joined in recent months. Breaking news and analysis, townhall.com. There is new evidence President Biden knew ahead of time the humanitarian pier in Gaza would fail, but went ahead with a $230 million deal anyway. More on the story from Bob Agnew.
A new Inspector General report shows the president moved ahead with construction despite being warned by U.S. staff it would fail as a result of rough seas and other logistical problems. Despite the warnings, Biden insisted the structure be built, an apparent effort to follow through on the promise he made during his State of the Union speech. The warnings, however, proved to be well-founded. The pier survived only 20 days and delivered just a third of its intended cargo. Humanitarian groups pulled out due to the ongoing threat of Hamas terrorist attacks. Bob Agnew reporting.
It's not official yet, but sources in Japan say the government there trying to address a labor shortage by coming up with a four-day work week. More on these stories at townhall.com.
I'm Michael Hill, president of the League of the South. I and my compatriots are Southern nationalists. We seek the survival, well-being, and independence of the Southern people, our people. The League wants a South that enjoys the sweet fruits of Christian liberty and prosperity, but our current situation won't allow it. We must have our independence from Washington, D.C. and the globalists. The present system cannot be reformed. Without independence, we will continue down this path of destruction. To us, this is not acceptable. I'm asking you, Southern man and woman, to join us today to free the South. Call us at 256-757-6789 or see our website at www.leagueofthesouth.com. God save the South.
Introducing Managed IT Services from NPI. We offer top-notch data backup and recovery, email spam protection, and network security tailored to your needs and budget. With 20-plus years of experience in the medical field, our HIPAA-certified consultants know what it takes to protect sensitive information. Don't settle for less. Give us a call at 801-706-6980 and experience the difference with Managed IT Services. Remember, your IT support should be fast, efficient, and reliable.
Introducing PrepStartsNow.com, your ultimate guide to readiness and peace of mind. We offer practical preparedness tools, training, and education to take your family's household readiness to the next level. Browse the prep shop for essential products, check out our planning guides, and stay informed with our prep blog. Visit PrepStartsNow.com and subscribe to our emails for exclusive offers, new products, and future events. Remember, preparedness begins with PrepStartsNow.com.
Parade!
Parade!
Rest!
Men of the valley, citizens, soldiers, I am here at the order of General Robert E. Lee, commanding all Virginia forces. On April 15th of this year of our Lord, 1861, Simon Cameron, the Secretary of War of the United States, sent a telegram to our governor, John Letcher, directing him to raise 3 regiments of infantry to be sent to assist in suppressing the Southern Confederacy. Governor Letcher's answer is well known to you, but perhaps not his words. His wire to Washington stated, "You have chosen to inaugurate civil war. And having done so, we will meet you in a spirit as determined as the Lincoln administration has exhibited toward the South." 2 days later, the Virginia legislature voted for secession. Just as we would not send any of our soldiers to march in other states and tyrannize other people, so will we never allow the armies of others to march into our state and tyrannize our people. Like many of you, indeed most of you, I've always been a Union man. It is not with joy or with a light heart that many of us have welcomed secession. Had our neighbors to the north practiced a less bellicose form of persuasion, perhaps this day might not have come, but that day has been thrust upon us like it was thrust upon our ancestors. The Lincoln administration required us to raise 3 regiments. Tell them we have done so.
Yeah, welcome back, everybody, to the third hour of the radio, Blood River Radio program. And we're going straight back to Brother Gene Andrews and Sister Monica and let them continue their presentation. And I'm going to try to keep my mouth shut and not interject. Go ahead,
Brother. Oh, you're doing fine. Like those movie clips. Once again, that was from that movie, Gods and Generals. And that was Thomas Jackson's speech to the Virginia troops as they were training and get ready in the Shenandoah Valley to defend Virginia against the Northern invasion that they knew was coming. And Lincoln required every state to raise so many volunteers to invade the other Southern states to force them back into the Union. And so Virginia was required to raise 3 regiments, and Jackson was telling them, you can tell them we've raised 3 regiments. Yeah, we raised 3 regiments, but they were in gray. They weren't wearing blue. They were going to defend Virginia, not turn against Virginia and the other Southern states. So that was pretty much, that's what drove Arkansas, Tennessee, North Carolina, and Virginia, Kentucky, and Missouri out of the Union. It wasn't a question of slavery to them. It was a question of the federal army being sent through their states, and they would have to go through Virginia and Tennessee to get to the lower south, of the federal army coming through their state to use force of arms to force these states back into a union. What kind of country do you have if you have to join it under the threat of being shot or murdered? To me, that's the ultimate insult to the independence of the South, that if you don't come back into the Union, we're going to come down there and kill you. Not only are we going to kill you, we're going to burn your homes down, we're going to destroy your crops, slaughter your livestock, and leave the carcasses to rot out in the fields. We will attack the women. And all of this took place under the Lincoln administration. And basically, once again, going back to our parallels in Dr. Weber's article, the parallel between the South and Germany, That's what the U.S. troops did to Germany after the war. The German prisoners of war, the American prisoners of war that were taken by the Germans, for the most part, were returned to the Allies in fairly decent condition. But after the war, Eisenhower deliberately tried to kill off as many German soldiers as he possibly could. And that's something they don't really brag about, or when you get your button that says, I like Ike, or anything like that. That's certainly something they don't bring up.
That's right.
There was a certain yeah. parallel between the great leaders of the wonderful U.S. of A. in 1860s and the leaders of the USA and the Allies, Churchill and Frankie Roosevelt, in the 1940s.
Huge parallels, deep parallels. You know, I don't know what the situation is with the war against the South, but in Germany, more Germans died after the bombs stopped dropping, right? Like after the war stopped, but the war continued because more Germans died afterwards. That's at least according to what I have learned. Now, I stand to be corrected if I'm wrong, but you just mentioned that these Eisenhower camps, which my father was in one of those, where they were deliberately starved. And then that's just one little fraction of the Germans who died after the war. There were the many, many, many women who were mass raped, and many were killed, many succumbed to their you know, the injuries, and were just outright murdered as well. And then there were the expellees, the largest expulsion in our history that we know of human beings being expelled from their homelands. There's estimates ranging from, you know, I think 16 to 22 million Germans, and millions died along the way, either through deliberate murder or starvation or just, you know, cold, hunger, everything else. So maybe 3 million died before they reached their destination. And that's not all. Like, there were just so many that died afterwards. And you said something really interesting when we were discussing this before we came on air. And, you know, you say put the reconstruction in quotation marks because really it's deconstruction. And I would say that applies to the same thing in Germany, that it was not reconstruction after the war, but deconstruction. Over to you.
Oh, absolutely. And it was a reconstruction of trying to get into people's minds and make everybody believe that these two countries, the Confederate States of America and Germany, were so evil and so horrible, and they had to reprogram the people, the inhabitants of the South and of Germany after the war, to give them this huge guilt complex that they had done something so horrible and so terrible that anything that the news media or the TV shows or the movies or anything like that, this made-up stories were true, and people that denied it or tried to tell the truth were the ones that were evil and
exactly.
You know, totally wrong about
what they
said.
Thank you for bringing that up, Gene. That was the other parallel I wanted to comment on, is the very parallel how they have deceived the masses on and lied to us about how those wars went, what actually happened, and then make it, you know, the good guy, the bad guy, and reversing all of that, inverting the truth. So how we have been educated, and I'll just give an example of this continues to this day, the parallels, actually, this is a great little anecdote to show that there really are parallels between the Southerners in the United States and the Germans, because during the truckers' convoy, and these were provocateurs, just to, you know, make a big media splash about it, but again, to demonize the Germans and the Southerners, is they had a couple of provocateurs flying a couple of flags there. One was the swastika, you know, the quote-unquote Nazi flag, and the other was the Confederacy flag. And they just jumped on that and demonized equally the Confederate states and the Germans. Isn't that interesting? And that's just a couple of years ago.
With the flags. Yes. I can understand that. At the January 6th demonstration out in front of the enemy's capital there in D.C., they went out from the Capitol and arrested a protester. Now, he hadn't gone into the Capitol. He hadn't broken out the windows. He hadn't torn the doors off the hinges, anything like that. But he was standing out in front of the Capitol with a Confederate flag. He got arrested and got jail time for being in front of the Empire's Capitol building. I call it the House of Prostitution, but anyway. Just for having a Confederate flag out in front of the Capitol. And that's how paranoid these people are. They're so terrified of anything that smacks of resistance to the empire. And we've always said the Confederate flag is a symbol of resistance to tyranny. It was in 1861, and it was when the Berlin Wall came down and the communism collapsed. A lot of those countries in Eastern Europe were flying Confederate flags along with their old flags of their country that didn't have the hammer and sickle on it. So we'll take the last break.
Yeah, that's interesting.
Going to our last break, people. Just hang on. We'll be right back with the last segment.
Calling all patriots, faith-based leaders, sheriffs, and elected officials. It's time to stand up for our Constitution and protect our God-given rights. Join us at the Foundation for Freedom Conference at the Rosen Shingle Creek Hotel on September 6th and 7th. Hear from national speakers who've successfully fought against unconstitutional government overreach. Be inspired by constitutional attorneys, sheriffs, and more. Foundationforfreedom.us to register now. God bless America. See you in Orlando.
Hey, this is Matt from Blood River Radio. Blood River Radio is your voice to save our land, our people, and our future. We propose Christian solutions to an anti-Christian assault on our bloodlines. We love what we do, but we cannot do it without your help. The annual operating cost of Blood River Radio is more than even a team of people should bear alone. With your donation, we can take the fight to our enemies and hold our own people accountable for their treachery against us. Please go to our website, www.bloodriverradio.com, and find a way to help us that is suitable for you. We are thankful for any cash, check, or money orders we get. We also appreciate your correspondence or letters of encouragement. Once again, please help, and thank you for joining the fight.
Former Sheriff Richard Mack recounts in his book, The Proper Role of Law Enforcement, how he came to realize while working as a beat cop how wrong the all-too-common orientation of police officers is when they think of their job as being to write tickets and arrest people. Richard Mack tells of his personal transformation from by-the-number cop to constitution-conscious defender of citizen safety and freedoms. Learn what it really means to serve and protect. Purchase your copy at cspoa.org. That's cspoa.org.
Okay, welcome back, everybody, to the last segment of the Blood River Radio program, and we're going to go right back and let Brother Andrews and Sister Monica continue their comparison between the Confederates and the Germans fight for their independence. Go ahead, Brother Gene.
Well, Monica was making some great points on the break there and talking about the parallels between the two and how they have to manage history and how they have to every war has to have a villain. And, of course, as we all know, the winners write the history books. So you may have the most noble, honest cause in the world, but if you lose, then you're automatically painted as the villain. And that's what they've done in this country, and that's what they've done to the Germans. That they never tell you about how many times Chancellor Hitler tried to work out a peace agreement with the British and the French. And fire away. Go ahead, Monica.
I just want to tell you about that little saying that, you know, about the victors write the history books, and maybe I've said this before, on this show, but I have a direct story about that. When we were learning about, you know, the Holocaust, and the social studies teacher, that's what they call that, you know, history class, whatever, social studies, he was teaching us about all these horrors that in Germany that happened in World War II. And I do believe I was in junior high school, meaning I was about 14 or 15 years old. And he was telling us about the shrunken heads and the soap and the lampshades, those stories, right? And this was so shocking. But you know, that teacher, he punctuated his lessons, that, you know, that whole unit that he was teaching us about the Holocaust, he kept punctuating it. And I remember him saying this several times. He said, well, you know, the victors write the history books. And then he would go on. He would just kind of almost like he didn't say it, but he would just go on. But, you know, the victors write the history books. And I'm telling you, Gene, I did not comprehend the significance of that. I honestly just thought, well, who cares who writes the history books, whether it's the victors or the losers? Don't they just write down the facts in books? Like, I was still so trusting and naive to think that anything that you see in a book, anything that's in print in a book, is going to be factual. There's no way that something would be printed in a book if it wasn't fact. So, but you know, I think that teacher, you know, maybe when he was given that unit, and that was sort of in early days of Holocaust teaching, he was probably thinking, oh my goodness, this is really outlandish. And then he was probably quite skeptical, and maybe he was just trying to plant a seed in us to be skeptical, but he was still kind of obligated to teach the curriculum, and maybe he hadn't looked into it, but he's just kind of making an offhand remark. Oh, the victors write the history books, you know. Back to you.
Oh, yes. Yes, absolutely. And the victors get to make the movies. And, you know, I had a friend of mine said, well, the history of the South, and we could transfer this to Germany too, the history of the South is like professional wrestling. You got to have a villain in professional wrestling to make the heroes look good. You know, some guy that's going to sneak a chair into the ring and bang somebody over the head with a chair, or a cane from the man, cane somebody over the head with a walking stick from the manager or something. So they have to make up a villain. And it's like the show of professional wrestling. they have to have a villain to make the heroes look good. And in doing that, as you had mentioned earlier about all the criminal activity that was brought down upon the German civilians after the war, and that is covered up, we don't hear about that.
And not only covered up, but if people did catch wind of it, they didn't care, because the Germans had been demonized so thoroughly for so long that the people of the world, even if they did find out even a fraction of what was being done to the German people, it was kind of like, well, they deserve it.
Yeah.
End of story.
Well, that's what happened here during Reconstruction, that 12 years after the war, when the Federal Army, they conned the Confederate armies into laying down their weapons and surrendering. And they said, if you lay down your arms and don't take up arms against the United States government again, you'll be treated as citizens and your states will be back into the Union. Well, as soon as they disarmed the Confederate armies, then they passed all kind of laws to steal land from people, they wiped out the states. They weren't there anymore. They made military districts all over the South. So Virginia wasn't a state anymore. It was military district number one, and all over the South. And the only reason they got the states back, the Southerners got the states back, the crooked jerks needed states to vote on the 13th, 14th, and 15th Amendment to the Constitution. It had to be passed by states. And they didn't have enough states in the North that were going to vote to eliminate slavery or make 14th Amendment make citizens of the United States government. We were no longer citizens of the state. We had to be citizens of the U.S. government. And the 15th Amendment to allow blacks to vote. Northern states weren't going to vote for that. They didn't want that to happen at all, because they didn't want blacks moving to the North. And they even passed laws to keep blacks out of the northern states.
And well, isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
That's so interesting. And so, I did not know that.
And no. And so the only way— Yeah, so the only way they could get these amendments passed to the U.S. Constitution was then reluctantly to allow these southern states to come back in and say, okay, you've got to vote for this, but the only way we'll let you back in and take our boot heel off of your neck is if you vote for these three amendments to the U.S. Constitution. And so that's how they got rid of District Number 1, Number 2, Number 3, Number 4, and so on, and went back to South Carolina, Georgia, Alabama, Mississippi, Texas, and Louisiana. So they couldn't even cheat and win. So that's how corrupt the government was here after the war. And but, you know, the same thing happened to Germany. I mean, they put all kind of restrictions on Germans. You can't sell any memorabilia from the German army.
To this day, you're not allowed to say anything positive about the National Socialist regime.
Yeah. You know?
And to this day, it is not a sovereign country. They still never signed, a peace agreement or anything at the end of World War II. So it's just it's kind of just got an organizational structure. It's a corporate entity, but the children don't learn that in school, right?
Oh, of course not.
Sister Monica, you certainly can't show your friend how high your German Shepherd or your dog can jump, right?
How high the dog Pavlov can jump.
Yeah.
These symbols. But that's perfect, Rand, to bring that in, because when we were talking about the flags, I wanted to say something about these symbols that are so important that they are, like, people are criminalized for showing certain symbols, like the swastika or this Roman salute, which then became known as the Hitler salute. Like, this is an actual gesture that shows I come in peace, because you come with your open palm, outstretched arm, and it's a friendly gesture, an old gesture, and it's a friendly gesture. And speaking of old, the swastika is all an ancient symbol, and it means really everything good, and, you know, prosperity and light, and it's all good symbolism. But of course, it's been demonized. But these symbols are so important that they, and like you said earlier, Gene, they are very afraid of the power of these symbols, aren't they?
Oh, absolutely. You know, and anybody that lies or makes up a story, they are terrified of anything that will undermine their lie, their propaganda, their false narrative, their fake history, their, you know, whatever they're trying to push off on the general public. And so not only do they have to crack down on anybody that publishes an article or a newspaper, a news account, or on TV or on the radio or whatever that contradicts the party line, they have to destroy not only that person, but all the symbols associated with what that person is talking about or representing.
And
we see that so many times today. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, and again, to underline this, you know, how afraid they are of these symbols or gestures, my brother Alfred, he did get another 6 months jail sentence. I mean, he's out again, but that happened last year, that he went to jail for 6 months simply for doing that open arm gesture that we used to call the Roman salute. And then they, you know, the guard, oh, Alfred, Hitler salute. And where he did that gesture, that he was then charged for it and sent to jail for another 6 months, was in his previous jail term in the courtyard with one other prisoner in the courtyard, because Alfred was on solitary at the time. And you know, happened to be in the courtyard with one other fellow who also had solitary. They don't have enough hours in the day to give everybody their own hour in the courtyard. And there he was, you know, showing him what he was in jail for. He did the gesture and the guard got all up in arms. And imagine going to jail for 6 months for holding your arm in a straight arm gesture, in a friendly gesture, in jail. Unbelievable.
Yeah.
So that's the importance of gestures, symbols and gestures.
Y'all,
well,
I hear
Monica, you did a great job. Thank you so much.
Your history lesson is just phenomenal. Thank you.
Been great. Thank you, Brother Eddie, for letting me be a part of this program, the Blood River Radio program. Thank you, Mr. Fromm. Thank you, Sister Monica. Thank you, Brother Gene. Thank you, Lizzie. And last but not least, thanks to all our listeners and supporters. Thank you.